This is Jay Sekulow. The new Trump special counsel has a history of targeting conservatives.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We'll be taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Special counsel has been appointed by Merrick Garland regarding the investigation of Donald Trump. Interesting, the individual selected has a history of engagement on conservative issues, including the Tea Party cases. He was, in fact, Jack Smith was one of the lawyers at DOJ who said, with Lois Lerner, if you remember, can you go ahead and get your group to investigate some of these organizations to see if we could bring criminal cases against them? That will, you know, teach them a lesson, so to speak. And that became part of the case, actually, that we dealt with. So we're going to talk a lot about this. We've got a lot of conversation to get through, a lot of topics to hit. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. But before we do, you know what today is? Today is Logan Sekulow's birthday. And before we go talk to Logan about his birthday, I'm putting up on the screen for our audience, and I'll explain it to our radio audience. Logan has been worried about legal issues since he was a child. This is your Knowing Your Rights cartoon.
Oh, very nice.
That you did in...
I have no recollection of this.
You're probably 3 years old, 4 years old, back in a long time ago. And it's about... And on it, it has these people saying, here's your rights. You can't be told to not talk about Jesus. On and on it went. So
my penmanship has gotten worse somehow. I'm not quite sure how that works, but that's very nice. Thank you. Yes, it is my birthday. For all of you who were cursing me on Friday, hopefully today you're celebrating me on air. So, yeah, we are going to be taking calls and
you
comments
got a little
on this,
flack
though,
on
too.
Friday?
Oh, you know, it just happens.
Well, you know, look, I mean, it's because you're talking about a sensitive topic, and in sensitive topics, you're going to bring out people that, you know, and the sensitive topic being. You're talking about former President Trump, and look, people are going to be running against him. We're going to talk about this, but we're going to talk about this whole special counsel thing. So a huge happy birthday to Logan first. I'm glad we did that. His mother found that. Pam found that. Those pictures. It's great that we're able to. I think it's great that we're able to use those. And then we're going to take your calls. How do you feel about this appointment? Do you view it as a political move? How does it impact an election coming up? Merrick Garland, do we have the sound where he said, "I'm doing this because President Trump announced"? We have that sound clip? I'm sorry.
They're working on it right now. They're working on some technical issues for our friends over on Rumble. So we're working on that. So that's what they're focused on that right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're just having some problems with some of the streaming stuff.
That happens. That's why we have terrestrial radio and SiriusXM or ACLJ.org. So we encourage you to do that as well. Look, there's an appointment of a special counsel. This is the way it works. Only the attorney general can do this. The special counsel gets their own budget, their own office. They're still accountable to the attorney general, but they set their own agenda. I am not a fan of special counsels. As you know, I have some experience with that, in representing the former president during the Mueller investigation. I thought it was unruly. I thought it was out of control. And I thought, frankly, that the end result of it was pure politics.
I think we do have that bite now, so if you wanted to...
Here's the appointment bite. Here we go.
The Department of Justice has long recognized that in certain extraordinary cases, it is in the public interest to appoint a special prosecutor to independently manage an investigation and prosecution. Based on recent developments, including the former president's announcement that he is a candidate for president in the next election, and the sitting president's stated intention to be a candidate as well, I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint a special counsel.
So there you have it. And the answer being, well, because we're now in a political season. You ask yourself this question, though. Did Merrick Garland do that immediately after the former president announced because he wants it off his plate and he just says, hey, I'm just doing whatever they say? I think there's a lot to that. And it's, but again, the special counsel is not an independent counsel. They still report to the Department of Justice.
Yeah, I think we need to, in the next segment, really break down what that process is. People just hear the term special counsel thrown around. It's like we get those terms. Thrown around, whether it was in the investigations or the Mar-a-Lago raids, there's all these different words that get all of a sudden put in our vernacular, and we're not exactly sure how to describe them. Special master, special counsel, all these different things. So we'll talk about that coming up. If you did a lot of questions, though, 1-800-684-3110. It's 1-800-684-3110.
for taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I'm holding a letter in my hand that's dated May 22nd, 2014. It's from the Congress of the United States. We can put it on the screen. That'd be great. This was a letter that was signed by Jim Jordan, who was then the chairman of the subcommittee. He will be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee going forward. What's interesting in the letter is that it's about the IRS. As the Committee on Oversight and Government continues to examine the IRS's targeting of conservative tax-exempt organizations, which, by the way, we won that case, and I'm holding in my hand a copy of the order. I mean, it's a lengthy order that we won, obtained a victory on. But this is what's said. While we knew the Justice Department engaged with the IRS in May of 2013 to consider a prosecution of politically active nonprofits, we were shocked to learn that this engagement started in October of 2010. According to Mr. Pilger, the Justice Department convened a meeting with former IRS official Lois Lerner on October 2010 to discuss how the IRS could assist in the criminal enforcement of campaign finance laws against politically active nonprofits. The meeting was arranged at the direction of Public Integrity Section Chief Jack Smith, who was just named Special Counsel. Logan. So there you have it. So this is, I kept saying the name is familiar. He's done work at the International Criminal Court of The Hague. I'm thinking maybe from there. And then when we started drilling down on it, it became obvious that's what this was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people have those questions, but maybe we need to break down exactly what that means. There actually is a call that kind of sets up this as well. Maybe we should go ahead and take that call. And if you want to be on the air too, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Tony in New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just got one simple question because sure. I'm so disgusted. We hear it all these years from Trump. What is the predicate for this special counsel?
That's a great question. So the way it works under the law is it's the sole determinative person to appoint a special counsel is the attorney general. So Merrick Garland was the one that can appoint. It means that the Department of Justice may be conflicted, that they were concerned there'd be conflicts inside that will look too political.
Sort of like recusing yourself some way.
Yeah, like halfway recusing yourself. Yeah. The problem is they appoint then, the person they appointed is a person that has, and again, it's nothing against the lawyer, but he was involved in the Tea Party targeting cases. Yeah. He also prosecuted Bob McDonnell, the governor of Virginia. He won an 11-count conviction, which was summarily overturned by the Supreme Court, 9-0.
So someone who feels like at least has some bias going into this.
I think the problem...
I mean, it was his job, I guess, at that point.
Yeah, he was the section chief of public integrity. But, yeah. I mean, to say that he's coming to it with no... With
no preconceived notions.
Is ridiculous. Yeah. Okay? He had preconceived notions. So I think you just have to look at it that
way. And what's his job? So now they pass it to him?
He's in charge. He's the lawyer in charge. So everybody reports to him. He will probably take his staff, will be a lot of the people that are working on it. He can add to that staff. He'll be given a budget. He's probably, you know, technically they're supposed to move expeditiously. My experience was it took 2 years. So
it's a perfect timing.
It takes sure, two, because two they years. Could come out with their announcement in March of 2024.
Right.
Right as the stuff heats up. Either that or they're going to move very quickly. It's going to be one or the other. Generally, these don't move quickly. These take on a life of their own. So I'm concerned about it. I don't like the special counsel statute. I think they should do away with it. Initially, they didn't think they needed a special counsel, but obviously that changed.
When he announced.
They're saying that is the basis upon which Merrick Garland said, I need a special counsel here because we don't want to look like we're going after President Biden's rival. And he pointed out in his statement that President Trump had announced and Joe Biden has indicated that he intends to be a candidate as well. So he concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint a special counsel. So that's they don't want to look like they're taking sides. But ultimately, Merrick Garland decides. Now, yeah, I'll tell you what he'll do. My guess is whatever Jack Smith and the special counsel come up with, that's what they're going to put in place. That's my guess.
Well, I guess that's sort of just hedging their bets. They can kind of...
Yeah, but you got to worry about the timing. Like you said, I mean, you know, wherever you
stay... I'm sure they are worried about the timing. It seems like that seems to be one of the big concerns as you look at it.
They're doing everything they can legally to take the guy out. Let's be honest, okay? Yeah. The New York DA said today that they're reopening an investigation against former President Trump. All this is happening simultaneously, and you're 2 years out from a general election. That, by the way, it's one of the perils of announcing so early, is all this regulatory oversight comes in, which is exactly what's happening.
Yeah, because theoretically, if he hadn't announced, there would be no special counsel. which I guess could be good and bad.
No, I think you don't want a special counsel.
Okay.
There's nothing good at coming out of a special counsel. Let's just be clear. Okay?
When someone has the only thing they're doing is focusing on this.
To bring cases against that person that's right. the target. So that's what they're doing. I mean, that's the goal here. So I think we need to be clear on what that is. That's what they're looking at. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, look, I mean, it changes the calculus because now you've got these sprawling investigations that are targeting one individual primarily. There'll be others that'll be in the periphery, but targeting one individual. Let's take another phone call.
Yeah, I think they're still screening that call. I'm not positive. Is ready? Okay, let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hi, Jerry.
First, happy birthday to the birthday boy.
Thank you.
You know, those of us who have been long-term callers, we already know what side of the aisle we're on. I would just love to hear the independents or the one-time callers who've never called say, what do you think of this? We have been through this with the impeachments and the calls. This and the timing, you got to be ignorant not to see the timing and make the connection.
And the ACLJ, you're pretty uniquely qualified to discuss these matters, and obviously an IRS targeting and everything that's happened before.
Yeah, both of the things
we've been involved in. Like Jerry said, we've been involved in these situations a long time. So I think people need to understand we're not just commentating off the top of our heads here.
And the last special investigation that was aimed at a president, the last special counsel was the case we handled. So I mean, I handled it. I know what it is. That's why what I'm concerned about is the way in which the trajectory of these things. We were very, Mueller's team was aggressive. We had an aggressive team. We pushed back hard. They pushed back. But, we never went to court. You realize in that 2.5 years,
just a lot of conversations,
we never had to go to court because of the way we handled the case. And that's called good lawyering. This is different because he's not a sitting president anymore. So the protections of the presidency aren't there. There are protections of the president. You can't indict a sitting president. So, all of those protections are gone. So his lawyers have a unique challenge in that it's now a sprawling investigation. In one sense, it's coordinated that you have one person that's kind of handling it, but that one person is handling all of it. And that's a lot to handle. I mean, you have to realize it's a lot to handle when you have a situation like this. So he's going to be relying on deputies. He's going to build the staff. He's leaving The Hague. He's supposedly not. He had some kind of bicycle accident in the Netherlands and is going to be coming back. But it's interesting that he was the appointment. It was also interesting that this was the person involved in the Tea Party targeting issues.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people tuned in to hear about. What is this? So we say that the special counsel has a history of targeting conservatives. It's not like it's vague. We know specifically his job was to essentially go after a lot of these people. We already actually have a throwback bite from Lois Lerner to kind of give you a bit of a setup to what he was involved in.
And what happened last year was the Supreme Court, although the law kept getting chipped away in the federal election arena, the Supreme Court dealt it a huge blow, overturning a 100-year-old precedent that said basically corporations couldn't give directly in political campaigns. And everyone is up in arms because they don't like it. The election commission can't do anything about it. They want the IRS to fix the problem. The IRS laws are not set up to fix the problem.
Okay, so basically, it was, if you had trouble hearing it, it was from a couple of years back, and she said it was because of the Supreme Court decision that these groups were allowed to engage in 501c4. You mean the Supreme Court said that kind of activity was constitutionally protected, thus the IRS decides, how can we fight it? And the guy that was the head of public integrity, Jack Smith, was the section chief for public integrity. That means he was in charge of that unit. He is now in charge of, he is now the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland. Now, we don't know the scope of his engagement, but it appears that it's all of the investigations that are going on. I think there's three grand juries that are going
on
right now.
That was about 12 years ago, that clip. So that was just showing
you
how long.
He's been around a long time. Career guy. Like I said, prosecuted Bob McDonald, got a jury conviction on 11 counts, went to the Supreme Court of the United States, and all nine justices said the Department of Justice basically, the legal theory that they were operating under bribery and obstruction and all these things, did not meet the statutory requirements and unconstitutional. 9-0. the most conservative members of the court and the most liberal members of the court. So there you have it.
Yeah, we're going to take more phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's head to this next segment. I do want to tell you we are in the middle of our matching challenge here at the ACLJ, which means if you give any donation during the month of November, it's effectively matched. So if you do have the means, which we know it is tough right now, so if you don't, it's not like we're sitting here pressuring you, but if you do have the ability to do it, this is a good time because essentially your financial support is doubled. So if you give $10, there's another donor on the other end who's already pledged to match that donation. So 10 becomes 20, 100 becomes 200, so on and so on. And you don't have to do anything special. Just go to aclj.org and all donations are effectively doubled. Also go to that website and look around at all the great content. I say this a lot because I think we obviously promote it as a place to go and support the work of the ACLJ, which you should. But also go take a look at some of the incredible work that we have there. Great videos, great blogs, great news stories. It's updated almost every day with brand new information from some of the leading names on the planet. Check it out at aclj.org. Again, matching challenge happening right now.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're going to be talking about, obviously, this appointment of a special counsel, but we're also going to be talking about a big issue that the American Center for Law and Justice is involved in. We've talked to this with you before. The Biden administration, Department of Veteran Affairs, has, because VA is now in the abortion business, which is hard to believe, but that is what has happened. But they're also targeting pro-life employees for discrimination, and we are handling one of those cases right now. And CeCe, this one, it's so bizarre in my mind that this became an issue for the IRS, for the VA, because everybody was allowed to basically display these kind of, I guess we call them personal right. identifiers on their...
Yeah. So our client works, he's a medical health employee at the VA, and they use Microsoft Office applications. So most people know when you use Microsoft Office, you're able to put up a little picture beside, your profile. And so he decided to put up a pro-life picture. One, I think, was just a heart and a cross with a pro-life message on it. He was literally singled out and targeted by his supervisor, and they specifically said that he had to remove these offensive pictures. He was accused of conduct that was unprofessional and unacceptable. But the twist here in this story is that everybody else uses these personal profile pictures, and they have different logos and they personalize them, and they have not been asked to pull those down at all.
On a whole wide variety of different topics these people can put in their personal profiles.
Some of them are more political in nature. It's not like you've just been... Okay, if we said no politics, no faith, you may not agree with it, but at least there'd be some sort of universal standard. This is saying, do whatever you want unless
it's pro-life.
Right, and so we've sent them a demand letter, and we basically all we're saying is please just follow federal law. This is the Veteran Affairs. You know, they should know federal law, and if you're going to have a policy, then you need to implement it equally, and then not retaliate against this particular employee. And we have tried to settle this, and they are not settling. They haven't responded. They haven't responded to the demand letter. So an EEOC complaint has been filed.
Yes, and I don't expect this going to get resolved there. To be blunt, I mean these cases tend to not get resolved, especially with this administration. So, but even in the previous administration, to be fair, they generally didn't get solved. So the next step could well be, and will be, federal court if necessary.
Right.
And it's going to be necessary, unfortunately.
And if we do need to, if we can't get this resolved, we will definitely take this to court, because this is a situation where this employee was definitely singled out and targeted and told it was offensive, and to remove his offensive photo, and that his conduct was unprofessional and unacceptable, but no other employee has been told that. And that they have to, if they have a policy, they have to apply it equally across the board.
You know, the pro-life issue right now, let's be clear, is fraught with people. You know, it became the big issue because the Supreme Court overturned the right recognized in Roe versus Wade. Not unsurprising to me, unsurprising in the sense that I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime, but constitutionally that decision was never firm. But what you have now is this, I call it this kind of shotgun approach to anything that's pro-life is now going to be viewed, at least by government entities, as as a problem. I think Christopher Wray testified that the number of violence cases on the abortion issue, I don't know if we have that sound, was like 60% of the cases. 70. Go ahead, Will, tell me. 70% of the cases were, in fact, targeting the pro-life groups. The question is, what is the FBI doing about it?
Yeah, well, and nothing. Well, some, maybe a little
bit. We have
bit,
one case
but,
where we are talking to, we, yes. to be fair, we have one case where the FBI has expressed interest.
Yes.
And our lawyers are meeting with the FBI and the pro-life center. So we are pushing to get resolution, but 70% of them were aimed at the pro-life group.
Right, and we know that the FBI and DOJ is going after pro-life groups instead of the people that targeted and harmed pro-life groups. They're going after 22 of the pro-life groups. So it's a little bit strange that they know that the damage and targeting of pro-life groups is a big problem, but they haven't done anything to find the perpetrators and prosecute them.
Which is pretty unbelievable when you think about it, Logan. I mean, that we've been fighting this battle for a long, long time, but there you have it. I mean, it's still ongoing.
Yeah, and that's why we do the work here and we continue to push on. And that's why there are important moments in our calendar year. I don't want to just make this be a pitch, but important moments in our calendar year where you can support the work of the ACLJ. And by doing so in the month of November right now, it's really a great time to do it, because if you donate now, there is another donor on the other end who's willing to match that and make it double the impact.
And as it relates to the pro-life cases, let me say this. We have a lot of work going on because it was a great victory at the Supreme Court. But what's happening in the states, we've got basically potential skirmishes in all 50 states. I mean, it's that significant. We're on the phone with states' attorneys general, members of the legislature, city councils. I mean, it's very complex to get this matter resolved. I'm optimistic, but we do have to recognize that this is for real.
That's right. Not only in the 50 states, but HHS just did a new field guidance where any unaccompanied minor child who's pregnant, now there is a directive that abortion care must be afforded to them, which is in direct violation of the Hyde Amendment. But this is the kind of things that we're seeing again coming out of the Biden administration. Anywhere that they can push the abortion agenda, they are doing it, even if it violates other federal laws. And so our battle is constant and ongoing, and we do need support to help fight this battle, which continues to grow every day.
I also want to say this. It's as you mentioned, Logan, it's an intensive battle, and we've got our lawyers are defending the issue of life, not just in the state legislatures, but people speaking out against abortion, which are being targeted. The VA case is a perfect example of new cases that we're involved in. Sidewalk counselors still in litigation on those. It just approved a brief this weekend going to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. I mean, could end up at the Supreme Court of the United States. So you look at the scope and nature of everything we're involved in on the life front, which has always been a central aspect of what we do at the ACLJ. I just want to tell you that it's when you're doing it, it's very labor intensive. This is labor intensive work. And I need to also say that our media team is also involved in this, because we're trying to constantly communicate, Logan, a message about the sanctity of life and the importance of life. And that's an important issue, too, on the media side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our media operation is significant. It is run by some of the best people in the business, because we want to make sure that people see this message. It's important to be, obviously, in court. It's obviously important to be sending letters and being really engaged in people's communities and what's happening with the law. But it's also just as important, equally as important, to do shows like this and the other podcasts and the other broadcasts we do, all the channels that we operate, whether that be on Rumble or YouTube or Facebook, and making sure that we are everywhere so our voice and our message and your voice and your message is being heard and in the most professional way possible, not done in some thrown together cheesy way. We make sure we have a great team that's putting together incredible pieces, incredible works of art, really, to make sure that the message is being heard. And we do that through our media center here at the ACLJ, and again, an incredible team.
This is why we want you, and we're asking you to support, if you're able, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. November and December are the two most important parts of the year. That's how we determine our budget for next year. So we have donors that are willing to match whatever you donate. So we encourage you to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And any amount you donate, we're going to get a matching gift for. So I encourage you, if you're able, to do that today. As I said, whether it's standing for life, religious liberty, standing for Israel, fighting at the UN, wherever it might be, the halls of Congress, The American Center for Law and Justice is there. We've been doing this almost 40 years. ACLJ.org for the Matching Challenge campaign. Back with a half hour coming up next.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, special counsel has been appointed by Merrick Garland dealing with former President Trump in the investigation surrounding January 6th, surrounding the documents and the document in, that were the subject of a search warrant in Mar-a-Lago, all of that now being handled by a special counsel. Special counsels are only to be appointed by the Department of Justice Attorney General. He's the only one that can make the appointment. They operate independently in the sense that they have their own budget. They're outside of direct supervision, but the AG is still in charge. So you can't just pass the buck. But this was done at a time. The justification for it was that President Trump announced, Joe Biden announced, they want to depoliticize.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling in. I think we should go ahead and just go in order. A lot of people have called in. So we'll get through some of these and we'll open up some phone lines. So let's go to Michael, who's calling in California online too. He's got some comments. Michael, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, first of all. Thank you for thank you for taking my call, and thank you guys for the great work you've been doing, and I will try to contribute pretty soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, my comment is that I think that President Trump did a brilliant move. It's like David running towards Goliath, and I think he forced everyone's hand. Everyone have to come out in the open, and so it's great that everyone could decide what they want to do, but now everything is on the table. So I think it's a brilliant move. And he could stay in his basement for 2 years. They'll still be the news, driving the news.
You mentioned the driving the news.
I mean, that's certainly true. I mean, millions of people watched his announcement and millions more watched online. Michael's not necessarily wrong in the sense that the attention will always be. Even the networks that said they weren't going to run it ended up running it. We're hearing a lot more. Obviously, you have him having his Twitter account reinstated.
What do you think is going to happen there?
I think eventually. I think the problem, I think he has Truth Social, and that will be a conversation he probably has to have internally since it's his own company. It's also people who invested in it and thinking it'd be his exclusive home. Yep. However, you're running for president, you have the access to 85 million people already. I think it's not necessarily a temptation as much as a necessity to re-engage that audience. So I think inevitably it'll get there. But I think Michael is right and wrong in some ways. I think he's right that this does kick off the conversation with President Trump instead of him coming in as a spoiler in a couple years.
But let me tell you what you don't want. Okay? You don't want a special counsel whose sole job and sole resources are to focus on you. And so that part of the, I don't know if they calculated that in this process, his lawyers. I don't know what the lawyers representing the former president are thinking, but the appointment of a special counsel, and I could speak to this because I was the lawyer that handled the last special counsel, is not something that is a, you don't look at that as a positive development in the cases.
Well, and I think that's what we know what's going to happen since, you know, President Trump made the announcement that he was going to run again. I think we know that all guns are going to come out shooting towards him, and the special counsel is just one more target.
But it creates a legal hurdle that, you know, you got to deal with, and hopefully they're up to the challenge. Do we have time for one more or probably not, Logan? Let's wait. What do you want to do?
Yeah, it's on the edge. Let's go ahead and take one. Why not? We need to knock some out. Let's go to Nick in Nevada real quick.
Hey, Nick.
Hi. I heard somebody had a birthday today. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay. So my question is, we know that this administration and the media like to distract from anything negative aimed at the corruption and the dirty deeds of a certain side of the aisle. And with the announcement last week of a new investigation of Hunter Biden's laptop, is this Merrick Garland announcement also part of that distraction?
You know, it's interesting. Are they going to put a special counsel in for that one? Because if they're all worried about the politicization of all of this, you've got the president's son under, which is public, he's under investigation by the Justice Department, but he kept in place the lawyer, the U.S. attorney that was appointed actually under President Trump. I don't expect they're going to make a special counsel appointment there. It's interesting. I think the special counsel statute needs to go. I've said it. I'm going to say it right now again. I don't think it's helpful. And I think it's problematic. And it's not good for the country. And now it puts another 2-year process in play which is not a good thing. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Calls at 1-800-684-3110. Well, Kevin McCarthy secured enough votes, it looks like, to be the next Speaker of the House, since the Republicans now have that chamber. He has said that he is going to bar Congressman Swalwell, Schiff, and Omar from serving on various committees, which is not, by the way, he's not the first one to do that. Nancy Pelosi did exactly the same thing.
Yeah, when you're talking about finding specific people to go after, I think going after the ones that are the most egregious in terms of their bias, egregious in terms of the rhetoric, makes total sense. I was thinking it helps McCarthy actually get a little cred going into this, because I think people were concerned about how he was going to be. So now you go into this situation, and we actually have a comment, I believe it is from McCarthy, on Byte 11, kind of setting up what he's going to do.
Congresswoman Omar, her anti-Semitic comments that have gone forward, we're not going to allow her to be on foreign affairs, but we're also going to stand up to what's happening, not just in the halls in Congress, but what's happening into our higher education institutions, the anti-Semitism that's going on these campuses and others. We will investigate that as well and stop this to make sure that America does have the freedoms that we said we would keep, and we will stand up to it as we move forward.
It's interesting because we're handling cases right now for students and faculty that are subject to this anti-Semitism. But this is the person, Congresswoman Omar, who said, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. You want to explain that to our audience, what that means?
Well, I mean, she was making reference, but obviously when it comes to all about the Benjamins, all about the money, all about $100 bills, Benjamins, but this specifically tied to, I believe that was to Israel,
yep,
tied into AIPAC and all of that. So I think there was some connections there, but she doubled down on her anti-Israel,
It's a racist stereotype about Jewish people.
And yeah, it happens all the time from her. So this is no shocker. Look, on Friday I was out here saying, you know, I think that there are times when, whether it's the Hunter Biden situation, all that, should that be the first thing we lead with? Does it look good? Is that a good thing to present as the first thing you're going to do? This one I'm fine with, because these are your three actors who are really, like I said, the most egregious, the ones that people can't stand, and the ones who are so far gone, there's no worth even trying to save them.
Well, I mean, look, Swalwell had the Chinese spy situation in his office. Adam Schiff, Harry, said, you know, he had the direct evidence of Russia collusion, which, of course, he never presented because there never was any. And Ilhan Omar, we have a list of statements she's made.
Absolutely. So let me congratulate projected House Leader Kevin McCarthy for doing something.
Yep.
Perhaps for the first time in history, House Republicans are finally growing a backbone, and I think they need to push back at these bad actors that are coming from the Democrat Party, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, and Ilhan Omar. And so if you look at Eric Swalwell, he is a confirmed security risk who has had a celebrated relationship with Christine Fang, a Chinese agent. Adam Schiff, as you correctly point out, has lied consistently about the existence of adducible evidence suggesting that Trump was involved in some Russia collusion narrative when there was exactly zero evidence, and time has proven that. We've gone through a special counsel investigation with Bob Mueller, and no evidence was found. We've had House hearings, we've had CNN investigations, we've had Adam Schiff go on Chuck Todd's failed show and claim that he had evidence when he had no evidence. So I think it's about time for Republicans, by and large, to begin to push back and to learn how to fight effectively.
Yeah, let's remember some of the greatest hits of Representative Omar. So let's first start with, this one's back from 2019. Let's play that bite where it specifically talked about some of her more anti-Israel, anti-Semitic statements.
You tweeted about Israel in 2012 during the offensive in Gaza. You wrote, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. I wonder just what your message is this morning to Jewish Americans who find that deeply offensive?
That's a really regrettable way of expressing that. I don't know how my comments would be offensive to Jewish Americans.
I don't know. Israel has hypnotized the world. Yeah. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. That might be offensive.
Yeah, that sounds pretty much like stereotypical nonsense.
But they think they could just, you know, they were getting away with this with impunity. Now they're not. Just because, and Nancy Pelosi, Assisi, set the precedent for removing people from committee.
Right. And I agree with Harry, too, that, you know, this is a good thing for Republicans to do. Too often, Republicans get into power and then, you know, trying to be tolerant. They don't take the actions that they need to take. And barring these people from committees, I think, is the right thing to do. And it's a strong stance.
I think what Cece said, it is that concern that you're always going to have the political flip-flop. But the problem is, I don't really see how you break that at this point. When you have a 50-50 split, how do you break the fact that, yes, things are going to be politicized every time they go up, to just get back to normal governing? I think that, one, we have a fictionalized version of what that ever was. And I don't think there was ever a time where we were this, like, where the Congress and the Senate all worked in this sweet, you know, unified place. It never existed. Sure, it was better than it is now, and maybe a little bit more
respectful.
There
were times when it was much worse than it is now.
There were times, right.
Including in the founding of our country.
So we've romanticized a bit of the past. But I do think there are times where you look at it and go, sure, I would love for us to get beyond this. But the problem is, when you have these kind of people in power, you can't get beyond it. When you have people who spew racism and spew stereotypes. I mean, here's what even Omar talking about the September 11th attacks.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
I mean, I remember this. Some people did something.
Also, CARE wasn't founded after 9/11. Been around before then. And wasn't there... wasn't there one about the Holocaust brings her, like, great, peace? There was something about thinking about the Holocaust. Oh, that was Tlaib? Okay, well, same
She
idea.
Should be banned. Put her on the ban list, too, in my
exactly.
view.
Exactly.
But, I mean, this idea, because some people did something. This was a typical Congresswoman Omar comment, Harry. But look, McCarthy, like you said, you got to give him credit. He's taken this action.
Yeah, for sure.
And a lot of people thought he wasn't going to do that kind of thing.
I think he's to be commended for taking this action, but I also think the Republicans, they need to be on alert to continue to root out this type of misconduct from the Democrats. I think it's also a helpful thing that Elon Musk has taken over Twitter, because there will be a little bit more pushback on Twitter against people like Ilhan Omar. And I think it's also good that President Trump has created Truth Social. So again, we can get some pushback against these bad actors who have run amok for years.
Yeah, you take away Twitter from them as being their safe haven. There's really not a huge place to go.
I was going
to
ask you, how do you think this whole Elon Musk Twitter, what's it going to mean?
I think it means, you mean in what way? Just
other people, other voices now coming back on?
I think other voices are good. I think that the...
Is it still difficult?
Oh, yeah. There's still people who are going after everyone on there. It's this false equivalency of well, now he runs it. What's going to be the main difference? I actually don't see it being a gigantic shift, other than the fact that a lot of people who you didn't want to hear from are no longer going to be on the platform for a little bit, until they realize they can't get reach on other platforms. You know, there are other people popping up with their sort of a reverse version of Truth Social. But like, we can say the same thing with Truth Social. That we have tons of followers there. Really appreciate all their help and support. But it doesn't make the impact of Twitter at this point. Even if it may for us, but for the mass majority of the people are still going to these other platforms. The problem is now and I think the reason you're seeing the freak out, the reason you saw CBS News withdraw from Twitter and then go back on after a couple of days, because they realize there's not that many outlets. Facebook doesn't operate that like that anymore.
No.
The way you receive information, it's not real time as it used to be. You know, Instagram and TikTok and all of those other, they're more entertainment based. They're not really based in sort of news. Really, Twitter's still the main place you go to get your breaking news. So there always is going to be some interest there. Now, I think you're going to see a lot of shift over the next coming months with Elon Musk in charge. I think he's drawing some very interesting lines in the sand that I approve of most of. So I'm excited to see.
Let a lot of people go.
Had a lot of issues there. Had a lot of people also, you know, 75% of the staff quit. So that's a pretty aggressive turn. But then you saw most of the people who stayed on were the people that were kind of essential to making sure it was staying up. We've had
Do you think it will still be the power what has been? Probably.
I think it will be. I think it probably is actually going to shift back a little bit to where you actually do have a bit mix of voices. Because right now, until now, Twitter was where you were if you're on the left. And honestly, as much as you guys may not like it, Facebook is where you were on the right. If you look at the top things shared on Facebook, the majority of it is coming from us or from Ben Shapiro or The Daily Wire or Dan Bongino. Those are the top voices on Facebook. Then on Twitter, you had the other side. So now you have a bit of a shakeup.
We've been in the top 10 on a lot of times.
Oh,
on
all the time. That's like Facebook, regardless of what people want to say, is still probably the place where conservatives are. And then now you'll have Twitter being another alternative.
Of course,
to that.
We also appreciate our friends at Rumble because you've given us a platform. We don't have to worry about beginning warning.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just for video side of it. Sure. I'm just talking about for social media in general.
Yeah. No, all right. No question. All right. Back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Last segment of the broadcast coming up.
This last segment, let's just go. A lot of you have been on hold for a long time. We do have a little bit of time, though, to get your call in the air. We have a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110. But let's go to Bobby, who's calling in New York. Bobby, thanks for holding. I'm sorry it's been such a wait. 35 minutes on hold. You're on the air.
Niagara Falls on the American side. Happy birthday, Logan. Listen, isn't it likely because the Justice Department is so powerful that this is going to have to go to trial with Trump? Because Bill Barr said yesterday, I thought I heard that he said he sees an indictment coming down. And if it goes to trial, and if he's convicted, would he then take it to the Supreme Court? How would that work?
Well, I mean, the first thing they'd have to do is actually issue an indictment. And so, you know, it's not like a civil case where you just press charges or file a complaint. They have to actually issue an indictment. And I think there's a big political calculation in that, and that is, is it worth the precedent of doing that? Is the crime that they would have an indictment on of significance? Like on the document stuff, it's hard-pressed for me to see it. Now, I don't know all the evidence, but it's hard-pressed for me to see how Hillary Clinton did her thing with the 33,000 emails on her personal server, and General Petraeus gave classified documents to his author, and the Sandy Berger case, and then none of those get really prosecuted at all. And what happens to, and but they do on Donald Trump. So I don't know. I mean, but I will tell you that the appointment of the special counsel does not alleviate the jeopardy that the former president and those surrounding him find themselves in, because it's serious.
Yeah, and I think it is. It's a political move, obviously. You know, and just going after him constantly, it could backfire, because we've seen when they've gone after him before and then nothing comes out of it, the American people could go, this is enough. It's clearly political, and it could backfire on them.
It could. I mean, the difference you have here is you don't have the protections of the presidency.
That's true.
So
I mean, it definitely backfires politically, because I think people do think anything at this point, this many years out, that's still going after President Trump for stuff, like you said, and the new stuff that's coming up that's a decade old at this point, you do go, okay, well, he just announced he was going to run. Clearly, this is political. And all of his base...
Well, they said it. I mean, they said it. He announced he's running. We're appointing a special counsel.
All of his base goes, moving on.
I mean, remember how a special counsel...
Legally, that changes.
Yeah. Remember how the special counsel got appointed? Jim Comey leaked a document to a friend of his that went to the New York Times for the sole purpose of getting a special counsel. And guess what happened 2 days later? Special counsel was appointed, Bob Mueller.
Right.
So all of this is, for anyone to say this isn't political, come on. It's all political.
Oh, yeah.
Now there's just the legal ramifications of all this is what you're having to deal with.
Yeah, that's the concern. The concern is the ramifications, not necessarily the process.
I don't think the country's up for another one of these, honestly. Yeah. Is the country ready to go through another 2-year event?
Not for this.
I don't see it, but you know,
but
America,
maybe they are. The ratings get there. I mean, the ratings go up, and that's what ends up happening. So who knows, like you said. All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. Let's go to Art in California. Art, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think Trump is about the only one that can drain the swamp in Washington and other places, too. And I think they want to get rid of him so bad, they would do anything.
Yeah, Art, I do think there is definitely an effort involved to make sure that you know, there's going to be a crowded field. A lot of people are going to be running. It's certainly not going to be the Trump show, as I think people expected. Some people expected once he ran, a lot of these guys would back off. It doesn't seem like the Republicans are going to back off.
No, I do not think that his announcement stopped others from announcing. I mean, you've heard very directly from people. I mean, you know, Ron DeSantis issued the statement saying to the President Trump when he was going after Ron DeSantis, look at the scoreboard.
Yeah, I mean, you saw everyone at the Republican Jewish conference this weekend. I think you could probably look at that and go, losing. You could probably go, okay, well, there's 10 people who are potential, yeah, that are names, that are not insignificant names.
No,
that at least going to consider.
You want a robust, whatever party you're with, you want a robust primary system.
For sure. But I think people thought if he announced,
that would be
a lot of people would back off. And I think they
I don't think that's going to happen.
Go after him.
No.
Should we keep going with calls?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Susan in Virginia on line one. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi.
I've
been. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a conservative Christian mom in Virginia. And I have gotten so fired up because I just discovered you guys.
Oh, great.
And I just, knowing how divisive Trump is, how can we communicate, you know, these issues to our kids? That the next generation is going to have to reap all the things, the consequences of Biden's administration. And just to get them empowered, get them as passionate as I am, that, you know, you don't want Biden in office. It's going to hurt you guys so much.
So I think this how was... Yeah, this is when I think you have to talk policy, not personality. And I think this is a big issue. I think the policy is a big issue, and the policy differentials are very stark. You had a change in the Middle East under the previous administration with the Abraham Accords. We had energy independence. Stock market was secure. We weren't in hyperinflation, which we are now. But you're right, though. But then when the rhetoric gets so loud and boisterous, you got to turn it off because you don't want your kids hearing it.
Yeah. Hey, Susan, question for you. How did you find about our show if you just tuned in?
Oh, I'm home listening to the radio.
Just on
I just
the radio.
Kind of scroll around. And then, like, I just heard you, yeah.
Are you from? Where in Virginia?
Lynchburg.
Oh, yeah,
all right,
there
cool.
you go.
No, I was going to say, for Susan, for you and for your kids, but that's the reason why we broadcast on 900 plus radio stations, why we were on Facebook, that's why we're on Rumble, that's why we're on YouTube, that is why we broadcast everywhere. It's on every social media platform that's accessible and safe. We're on all of those, and we are always posting new content to make sure people like your kids also hear this kind of message.
We have a whole program for young people.
Oh, yeah, we have an American history YouTube channel called Bald Beagle where we run American history education. On YouTube, look at that. They had the graphic ready to go.
I saw one of the ones you had like 400,000 views.
Yeah, our Veterans Day one always. Some reason YouTube's decided our Veterans Day video is worth showing to people. So we always appreciate that they do that. But that's why we're here. And that's why the organization exists, is to make sure the message gets out there. It's why the media department exists. Now we talked about that. Because we have to be able to get the message out there. Getting, you know, being in the courts, very important. Being involved in Washington, D.C., incredibly important. It is the real on-the-ground, boots-on-the-ground work. However, it is also equally important to make sure people like you and your kids have access to this information. And we have to do that in engaging and entertaining ways. And that's why we have such a robust media operation.
Yeah, it was interesting, though, her comment, because some of the political rhetoric is so strong, including from our side, that it's tough for little kids to be listening to it. Because, I mean, the language can be very aggressive these days.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
a whole different environment.
It is. And like you said, you know, my kids are in college and they have to engage in these discussions as well. But, you know, they're well trained that they do talk about the policies and not the personality. And I think that's when you can, you know, win arguments and you can and change positions if you're talking about policies and facts.
It would be nice, though, to have someone with a decent personality and good policies. I think that,
yes.
that finding those people is not necessarily the worst idea either. You know, just to prop up saying, okay, I'm going to vote for someone because I agree with them, but I don't like them personally, but I agree with them. That's fine. You can do that. And I think we've all done that before. However, it would be nice for your children and for our children to actually have people who have a backbone and moral convictions and can stand up and make a good statement and have a decent, you know, everything
and
put together.
And you don't have to mute.
And you don't have to worry about that. So
what
you hope is that there are those people still out there. It doesn't have to always be this incredibly divisive struggle. Now, it's hard when the world is in a dark place. Obviously, if you turn on the news, even if the news is just giving you straight facts, it's going to be dark and hard for your kids to listen to. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about sort of the more aggressive language.
A fascinating program. Glad you all tuned in. You always know you got a safe place right here, whether you're watching us on our social media platforms or TV, or whether you're listening to us on radio or, like I said, any of the social media applications that we're on. We appreciate that. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge, folks. And we're getting close to Thanksgiving here, so this is when it really counts for us. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.